take a look. And on the one side of your outline before you, we have different portions of Scripture that reveal or bring to us the glory of Christ as it's revealed, especially in the Gospels. And what it really is a revelation of the character and the person of God and the very presence in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His work. But there's something else, too, that the gospel brings to every heart and every home that honors Jesus Christ. I don't mean just honoring Christmas. It's much deeper than that, isn't it? But every home and every heart that honors Christ is not only that we shall see His glory, but we shall also participate and share in His glory. As you see in the page before you, a number of verses that clearly declare that, such as, if you will, the passage there from 1 Corinthians. Now we see but a poor reflection in a mirror, but we shall see face to face. Not now I know in part, and then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. The Word of God says that we're going to see Jesus Christ in all of His glory, but there's something that happens between now, the moment that you have received the Lord Jesus Christ, and your walk with the Lord right now throughout this life, and the moment you see the Lord Jesus Christ, there's a transformation. You see, the message of Christmas is Christ. And Christ in a heart brings transformation to a life. And that transformation to a life will also affect the marriage. That transformation of that marriage will also affect the family. That transformation of that family will affect the entire home. You see, as we behold His glory, we're told there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we are being transformed from glory into glory. Maybe it's imperceptibly, maybe it's in very small degrees, but nevertheless, the transformation is happening. God has promised that. That's God's part of His work in you and me. That's part of that salvation work through Jesus Christ. We're going to look at four glimpses, just four glimpses. There are many more glimpses in the Word of God of Christ's glory. And see, as we look at the Word, and I'm going to ask you to come to turn to certain pages, because I believe in one thing, and I hope you do too. God's Word works. And God says, not only does it work, it effectually works in our lives. And the more we hear God's Word, the more we read God's Word, the more we hide God's Word in our heart, is we're going to see more and more of that transformation work, because we're seeing the glory of Jesus Christ in God's Word. And we behold His face in God's Word. Join me in prayer. Father God, we thank You. We thank You, Father, for Your Son, Jesus Christ, the greatest gift of all. Lord Jesus, thank You for giving Your life as a ransom for our souls, that we would be redeemed and saved through Your sacrifice and through Your resurrection. Lord Jesus, help us to see You. Help us to behold You, even though it's through a glass yet dimly. But Lord, we thank You that we get clear glimpses of Your glory. Hearing Your Word, and we understand it, and we know it to be true in our hearts as well. So Lord, guide us, we pray now, as we look into Your Word, as we seek to behold Your glory. In Your name we pray, amen. John says there in John chapter 14, the wonderful Christmas prologue to the Gospel of John. John says these words, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The word behold there, or beheld, is not just to see with our eyes. It's much more than, certainly it's seeing with our eyes, but it's also seeing and understanding with our heart. To behold, very similar to, like, if you will, when John the Baptist, remember when John the Baptist introduced Jesus Christ after the baptism? He said, behold, who? The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. John wasn't just saying, oh, look, see him. That's Him over there. He's saying, behold, and the word there, certainly in the intensive form, is the idea of knowing Him, understanding Him, and receiving Him just as He is and all that He is. And so John here is saying, we beheld His glory. We understood it. We saw it. We believed in Him. We received Him. Glimpses of glory. The glory of Christ's birth. There on your outline before you, you have a passage there from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 12. I want you to circle and underline a couple of words, if you will. Would you follow with me as I read Luke chapter 2? And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. And for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." I want you to circle a couple of words there. First of all, circle the word glory. The announcement of Christ's birth and the event of Christ's birth was filled with the glory of God. Now, not everybody saw it. Herod certainly didn't see it. Many, many others, like Herod, did not see it. But certainly the lowly shepherds, they saw it as the announcement was given to them. Others saw it as well. I want you to underline and circle, if you will, the words "for all people." It is good news. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Savior, for all people. But I want you to see something else. In that message of glory, the glory of Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. It's also for you. Take a look right after "for all people," "for unto you." See how personalized it is? Indeed, it was public, wasn't it? The gospel is indeed public for all, but it's to be personalized by each and every one of us. "This day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord." Can you imagine? Lowly shepherds. It was a very common occupation there, and certainly in the pastoral areas of Bethlehem and the surrounding environs. But it was a lowly trade, a lowly occupation. They were smelly. They were rough. They were difficult at times, too. You can just imagine them kind of sitting around trying to amuse themselves there at night, having the flocks all, the fold, if you will, taken care of. But God interrupted their amusement with an amazement, with an amazing story and announcement, a birth announcement. Take a look. When you have given an announcement, say, for the birth of your child or children, you've told them who it is, when that child was born, and where the birth happened. Well, you see all of that, but you see much more. Take a look, if you will. We have who is being born, who was born, when, this day, where, there in Bethlehem, and why. I've never seen any birth announcement, and we didn't give any birth announcement for our three children. Why they were born. Did you do that for yours? Now I know some people say, well, why? An accident. Have to live with a why like that for the rest of their life, that you were an accident. No, you were born by the divine providence of God. But here specifically it's saying Jesus Christ was born to be the Savior of the world. For all people, Jew and Gentile alike. But also unto you, individually, personally. So we see his glory, if you will, in this interruption that God made in the lives of lowly shepherds about a lowly birth, the birth of a king, the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also see that wonderful invitation, don't we? Come, see. And they told them exactly where and what they were to see. A baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, not on a throne, not in a royal crib, but in a manger, a feeding trough for animals. That's our Savior. But that's not the whole story, is it? But even in the midst of this lowly birth and this wonderful birth announced, we see the glory of our Savior, don't we? For why he was born, a Savior of the world. I want you to turn with me, if you will, to 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you're using the Pew Bibles, on page 1174, 1 Timothy chapter 1. If you have your own Bible, why don't you go ahead and mark this out. Paul says here in 1 Timothy and chapter 1, verse 15, here is a trustworthy saying and deserves full acceptance. Not just into our minds that we acknowledge it intellectually, but he's saying full acceptance of our heart, of our life. And we see the glory of Christ's birth and coming here. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Is there glory in that? Yes, there is. The glory of God's grace and truth in his Son, Jesus Christ. The glory of God's plan of redemption made before the foundations of the world, that Jesus Christ would come, yes, as a baby, in a lowly place, town of David, born of a virgin. All that radiates the glory of God's grace
and his love for you and for me. So Paul says, this is a trustworthy saying. You can trust in this portion of God's word for you today, and worthy of all of your acceptance into your life, into your home, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Come back, if you will, to our outline. Do you see him? Do you behold him as more than just a mere babe in Bethlehem? But do you see him as your Savior? The Savior for you, the sinner. The Savior for every one of us, the sinner. Christ came into the world to be the Savior, and unto you is born this day. Then change is happening. If you behold Jesus Christ in this manner, and you see the glory of the Savior in this truth from God's word, change is happening. You can say to your neighbor right next to you, you don't have to, but say, it's happening. It's happening. From glory to glory as we behold him. Not one another, not others, but Jesus Christ. And it's happening. If you behold him as your Savior, let's go on in our outline, if you will. We also see the glory of Christ's crucifixion. We see not only his love there, but also his grace. And Jesus answered to them, to the disciples, he said, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. This is just before his crucifixion, just before he was to be betrayed and to be arrested there in the garden. He's saying, the Son of Man must be glorified. He's referring to the cross there. And again, when he had gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. You know, we don't often think of the crucifixion of Christ in those terms. Terms of glory, do we? We certainly think it in times of glory. It was all of that. We see certainly in terms of being shameful. It was a shameful death. A death of a criminal. We see it also in terms of painful, most painful, excruciating death. Device of man against man. We see it certainly in those terms. We see it as abhorrent. The average person recoils from the death of crucifixion when they see it, or they hear about it, or read about it. But glory? Yes. God says we behold his glory in the crucifixion of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you beholding that? Are you understanding that? Yes, he's far more than the babe in the manger. You know that. But as we behold his glory, the transformation happens. From glory to glory, we are transformed into his likeness. What was the glory there at the cross? Justice was served. Without a doubt, justice was served. Oh, I'm not talking about Roman justice. And I'm not talking about the justice of the Sanhedrin. All of that was false justice. For he was innocent. Perfectly innocent. Condemned as a criminal to die on a cross. That's not the justice I'm talking about. But justice was truly served in the death of Jesus Christ, the justice of God, when his justice brought judgment upon you and upon me. That judgment fell upon his Son, Jesus Christ. Yes, justice was fully served, so all who believe and behold his glory as the Savior who died on the cross as a substitute for you, for me, we can say, yes, therefore there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because that's what God says. Justice was served. God's glory was seen. The substitute was given. A sacrifice was there. Behold the Lamb of God. Indeed. Glory on the cross. The substitution was made. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteous of God in him. We see the glory of Christ on the cross. Salvation is offered to all. Now because Jesus, born there in Bethlehem, and the very Son of God took upon human flesh, died for you and me. Do you know Jesus as your substitute, sacrifice for you? Where God, through his Son, Jesus Christ, fulfilled the law and satisfied the judgment that was against you. If you do, and you behold him, and you behold his glory in this manner, change is happening. Change is happening.
You see, as we behold him as our Savior, as we behold him as our substitutionary sacrifice there on Calvary's cross, we see his glory. And Paul says here in 2 Corinthians, we are being transformed from glory to glory as we behold him. We also behold his glory in the resurrection. Take a look at your outline before you. His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, that's referring to his resurrection, not to his cross, but to his resurrection, they remembered that these things had been written about him and had to be done to him. But our citizenship, Paul says, is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body to the like of his gracious, to his glorious body, by the power that enables him to subject all things to himself. The tomb was empty. Aren't you glad? The Lord is risen, and we see his glory. John says, we beheld his glory in all of the riches of God's grace, but also in the wonder of God's power. He is risen. Wouldn't you have liked to have been there on that first day of the week, there in the garden of the empty tomb, where that first day of the week became such a changing and transforming event in the lives of the disciples, because they saw his glory, the glory of his resurrection, and their lives were never the same. You see, the risen Savior who was crucified for them and for you and for me, he brought a new hope, a new life, a new future. And again, Paul says, we behold his glory, we are changed, transformed. Do you behold his glory in the resurrection? I pray you do. And if you do, God says, as you behold that glory of your risen Savior, your life, your heart is being transformed from glory to glory. That doesn't mean that you're going to shine. That doesn't mean that you're going to have radiating light coming out of you. But what it does mean is that your life is being transformed into the image, into the likeness of Jesus Christ. So as we behold his glory in God's word, we read it, we hear it, we meditate upon it, something happens. Change is happening. That's exactly what happens. We not only behold his glory at the Bethlehem on the cross, the empty tomb, but we also behold his glory in his return. Yet to be seen, but we see it in Scripture already, don't we? There in the book of Revelation, and throughout Paul's writing, how frequently he reminds us, the Lord is returning. The Lord is returning. Aren't you glad? Yeah. You know, you and I are not getting older. We're getting closer. One way or the other, we're getting closer to the Lord.
Amen.
Amen indeed. Yes. The glory of his return. Take a look at what Paul is saying here. For the grace of God has appeared. What's he talking about? He's talking about the person of Jesus Christ and all of his grace and all of his glory, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness. That's part of that change. Things that I used to enjoy doing, things that I desired to do, that I knew were wrong, that I knew were contrary to God, I don't have those same desires. Change is happening. Have you seen that in your own heart? Change is happening. He goes on to say, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live a self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Beholding his glory, there in Bethlehem, the babe in the manger, the glory of the Savior that was promised and provided, the glory of the cross, God's substitute lamb for you and for me. When the Old Testament sinner would put their hands upon that sacrifice and identify with that sacrifice, you and I, by faith, believing and receiving Jesus Christ, we put our hand upon Christ, the Lamb of God, and say, Lord, you have died in my place where I should have died, for the wages of sin is death, the glory of his resurrection. When they beheld his glory, a glorified body, change was happening. Their lives were changed, just like our lives can be changed also. Turn with me, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we, with unveiled faces, all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Just like every gift that you give, every gift that you receive has an effect. Isn't that what you desire? To please that one? To show your love? When you have received that gift, it expresses their love, their care for you. Every gift has some kind of effect. But the greatest gift of all has such profound effect on every recipient. The gift of Jesus Christ. As you and I behold his glory, our lives are not only saved from the penalty of sin, and daily, as we yield to the Holy Spirit, delivered from the power of sin, but one day we know we're going to be taken away from the very presence of sin. Until that day, and we behold his glory, change is happening. You're not the same you were before you received Christ. And you're not the same you were even a year ago. And as God can measure that glory unto glory, beloved in Christ, as you have been beholding his glory, you're not even the same as you were last week. Change is happening. Are you reflecting that change? You see, that's one of the gifts we can also give. The gift of the life of Jesus Christ. As others see Christ within us, the perfect gift at Christmas time. Join with me in prayer. Father God, we thank you. We thank you, Father, for just not only the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ, when the Word of God became flesh and dwelt among us, but Lord, that we can see your glory and all of your ministry and life, the miracles that you performed. We can see your glory there on the cross where you became that substitute sacrifice for us, paying the penalty for our sins. We see your glory in the empty tomb, your resurrection, in your glorified body. We see your glory in your soon and near return. Lord, we thank you that as we behold you in Scripture and we open our hearts to the work of your Holy Spirit, our lives are being transformed daily. Day by day, glory unto glory. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that our lives can reflect you, that it is truly all about you. Lord Jesus, may we as a church family truly reflect your life, your glory, in new and fresh new ways this coming year. Lord, that our loved ones that aren't saved will see you and desire to know you, that our friends will see you and desire to know you, that they too will behold your glory as your life is manifested in the church. We ask this, Father, in Jesus' name, amen.